Well, thank you, Peter and musicians. Will you please turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. As I said last week, I was looking at a couple of favourite verses of mine that have encouraged and helped me throughout the years. And we're going to look at another one of them this morning. Youth group saw one on Friday night, which I won't repeat on Sunday. So this will be actually the last favourite verse that I look on a Sunday morning. I'm going to do that at youth group. And when I get back, so 2 weeks away, we'll start looking at 1 John. And so we'll go through that epistle and see what God has for us. But with this verse here in 1 Samuel, I'm not exactly sure when I first noticed it. I would say it would have been when I was about 19 or 20. And although it is spoken to an individual, at the time it showed me God's attitude towards mankind and particularly toward myself. And it's been a verse I've had to remind myself often. And it was spoken to Eli, the priest, by an unnamed prophet. And it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. And I'll read all of it, but it's the second half that I put to memory. It says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and thy house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honour me I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." I'm going to pray and we're going to look at that verse. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God that acts righteously. And Lord, there are many blessings and benefits for that. But on the other hand, it is something that should make us have a reverential fear of you, to seek to obey you in our life. I pray as we stop and we consider the words that you spoke so many years ago to a man who did despise you, that we would learn from him that, Father, we will not fall into the same trap ourselves. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the part I learnt was, "But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honour me I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." God says he's going to honour those who honour him. Yet those who despise him, they will be lightly esteemed in his sight. And I know that when I read this, as a young man, I wanted to memorize it, bury it in my mind and my soul, so that it would influence the choices that I had to make, so that I would honor the Lord in those decisions. There are three key words here that we need to highlight. The first one is the word honor, which means that you consider or you care about. You lift up and promote and acknowledge. That's what it basically means. And God says, if you do that to me, well, then I'll do that to you. But there's another word called, which is despise, means you reject. You don't think about it very much. You ignore it or disregard. And God says people can do that to him. We can disregard and ignore God and despise him. There's another word, lightly esteemed. And now two words here, but I think it's just one word in the Hebrew, and it means think very little of, give very little care to. It can even mean to afflict. And God said to Eli, those who consider me, those who lift me up and acknowledge me, I will consider them and help them. But if a person despises me, if they reject me and my words, disregard what I have said, well then, I will give little care for them. In fact, he could even afflict them. And I know as a young man, although I had a lot more to learn about the Lord God of heaven, I certainly knew I didn't want God to lightly esteem me. That's one thing. I didn't want God to lightly esteem me. I didn't want God as an enemy. And so I wanted to make sure that God knew I loved him. I wanted to make sure that God knew that I wanted to honor him in the decisions that I made so that I can enjoy the honor that he'll give me. If there was a blessing that I could receive from God, I wanted to get it, basically. Call that greedy. I call it wise, all right? But if God was going to honor someone, I wanted him to honor me. And I've often had to say to myself, when I'm faced with a decision, Alan, make sure you honor the Lord. You have a promise from God you can hold on to if you do. If you honor the Lord at work, Alan, he's going to honor you. If you honor the Lord in your marriage, he's going to honor that marriage. If you honor the Lord in your ministry, he's going to honor that ministry. If you honor the Lord with your money, your friendships, whatever it may be, there are so many things where you can apply this very simple principle. And what I can tell you is, although I learned this when I was about 19 or 20, and at that stage, I was basically taking God's word and believing it and applying it to my life, jump 30 years forward, basically, from when I first learnt it, I not only just believe God's word, I've been able to see God's word come to pass, where I have chosen to honour him and he has honoured me. Where I've seen other people choose to honour God and he honoured them. Yet I've seen people who have chosen not to honour the Lord, but despise him, and they have been lightly esteemed. I've seen it unfold with story after story of people's lives in one way or another. And young people, can I encourage you? Trust God's word above your feelings and learn to honor him, because you don't want to be despised by God. And for us adults, we need to make sure that we're honoring the Lord in our life, in all the various realms of our life, because we don't want to be despised by God as well. And what I put into practice when I was a young man, and I praise God I did, and I encourage every young person particularly to do this, is it's good to honor the Lord from the beginning when you're a young person, so you can enjoy the honor that God will give you as time goes by. Because we see from this passage that by the time this was spoken to Eli, even though he would have known this principle, I'm sure, as a young man, as an old man, he was spoken this and it was too late for him. You see, he hadn't honored the Lord. He had despised the Lord. And now he was having to reap what he had sown. And as a young man, I never wanted to be like Eli. I didn't want to get to the end of my life and realize that I had blown it and I should have honored the Lord, yet I didn't, and now I'm having to reap what I've sown. I believe God's word that you do reap what you sow. And if you despise the Lord, he isn't going to honor you. He's not going to help you. You will have to reap those things. And the reality is, when we're old, there's no going back. If you get to the end of your life, or you're older in years, and you realize you haven't honored the Lord previously or earlier, you can't go and change all that. Now, God will give you the grace to help you cope with what you have to deal with, but it makes life a lot harder. And so the best start you can have is honoring the Lord when you're young. But it was too late for Eli. God's accusation against Eli was that he had despised him. We could say he had an idol, something or someone that was more important to him than God. And this morning we're going to look at what Eli's idol was, basically. Now, as we look at Eli's idol, let me make it very clear that we don't have to have Eli's idol to despise him. I may focus on what Eli's problem was, because it can also be a problem for all of us, but the reality is many things can become our idol, from a hobby to a sport to a person to an object, something that we consider more important than God. And God is not happy. It doesn't matter what the idol may be. When we despise God and honour something or someone greater than Him, God's not happy. And so what was his idol? Well, the key verse is in the verse prior to verse 30, verse 29. This is what the prophet said on behalf of God. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation? And this is the key. And honorest thy sons above me, to make yourself fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. That was the accusation. That's what he honored more than God. And honorest thy sons above me. Remember when Jesus was on earth and he said that unless you love me more than your father and mother and your brothers and sisters and your sons and your daughters, you're not worthy of me. Well, that's been God's attitude from the very beginning. It didn't just start with Jesus. And for Eli, he loved his sons more than God. And he honored them above God. And the reality is, children can change people. It's amazing how people can change once they start having children. When children come along, many convictions seem to go by the wayside that they held so strongly prior to children. Many parents are willing to lower their standards to accommodate their children's rebellion. They're willing to turn a blind eye to a lot of things and even justify it for their children's sake. You know, many parents will follow their children and allow them to set the agenda and the spiritual tone of the home when it's meant to be the opposite. Some will follow them in their rebellion to just so that they don't actually lose their children. But God's commandments to parents, and particularly fathers, are very clear. We're to teach our children the paths of righteousness. They are to hear it from our mouth, what they ought to be doing. But then also, backed up with that, we are to lead our children in the paths of righteousness. They not just are to hear it from our mouth, but they are to actually see it lived out in front of them so they know how they should be living this life. And if a man chooses to follow his children when he knows that the way that they are going is wrong, that man has chosen to honour their children above God. And that is serious. That's going to bring disaster to a family. You know, quite a few years ago, we had a special of some sort here in our church, and we had quite a number of visitors. And I was speaking to an elderly man, a Christian man, and talking away, and I asked him where he went, and he went to another church, which was considerably more contemporary than us in many ways. And then he leant to me and he says, "I actually don't agree with it at all. I can't stand it. I just go because my children go." Oh. And then he said, "Actually, and they just go because their children go. They like the music." And so here was a family, a grandfather, a father, who was following their children and their children's desire for fleshly things instead of actually setting the standard for the actual family. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know who they're honouring the most. It's not God, it's their children. And that's a disaster waiting to happen if it hasn't happened already. Because God says, "They that honour me, I will honour. those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And if you're a parent, you can be very sure that your children can become your idol, where they set the agenda. They are the ones that set the spiritual tone for the family. They are the ones that you consider more and above God himself. It's what makes them happy more than what makes God happy. And this is what Eli did, and God was not happy with him. And so with this in mind, I want to just look at two occasions of when Eli honored his sons more than his children, and how it happens, so that if you're a parent, you can make sure you don't fall into the same trap. Now, the key verse, as we said here, is in verse 29, "And honorest thy sons above me." How did he do that? Well, one of them was a time when Eli's sons changed the worship of God to suit themselves. Have a look in chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. It says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came, and the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, Let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, Nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." Now, I'm not going to make myself out to be an expert in all the offerings. I know I've gone through it, but as much as my study can tell me, and also from what I've read in the commentaries, is that what would have to take place when they went to make an offering to the Lord, there were some sacrifices or offerings where the whole sacrifice was to be a sacrifice to the Lord and burnt to him. But there was the peace offering and the heave offering, which was more a form of worship rather than for the forgiveness of sins. And God said that the right shoulder of that animal and the breast of that animal was to be given after the sacrifice or offering up to the priests so that they could live, enjoy, and provide for their family. So there were certain parts of certain offerings that the priests were allowed to have. But we see here that the sons of Eli changed how God said people were to worship. If you look there at verse 13, it says, "And the priest's custom with the people was." From all I can understand here, is this wasn't God's law. They introduced the custom that was different to God's commandment. And they were, when it was in the pot, they would put a flesh hook with three prongs and they would lift it up, and whatever they could get out of that, they took for themselves so they could get more than what they really should have. But it says there also, this wasn't the only thing they did wrong. When people went to make an offering, they said, look, don't make the offering, we want it raw. All right, they want to have it for themselves and they'll cook it up. And if you don't give it to us, well, then we're going to take it by force anyway. So people weren't able to actually make the sacrifice that God had commanded. The worship of God had been changed by his sons. And what was meant to be a beautiful thing, a holy thing, where God's people came out of fear and honor for the Lord Jehovah himself, and they offered up a sacrifice which was to be a picture of the sacrifice that one day God himself would send. The sons of Eli had turned it into something that the people despised and hated, and they ruined the worship of God. The people didn't want to go because they know that those sons were going to steal from them. They weren't going to allow them to worship God how they were meant to. So they hated going. And God didn't like what he saw. His sons had changed the worship of God to suit themselves. Now, it does appear that this wasn't Eli's way of worship prior to his sons taking over. That's the gist of what we get from this passage. We can assume that for years, Eli did it God's way. And as he was doing it God's way, his little boys were there as future priests and they watched how their dad did something. But as Eli got older and his sons got more mature, and they became more dominant, they changed how they wanted it done to suit themselves. And the big question is, how did Eli respond to this? What did Eli do when his sons changed the way God said he wanted them to worship? Well, he did nothing. In fact, he was worse than that. He actually seared his conscience to the point where he enjoyed the benefits of it himself. That was God's accusation. Have a look there in verse 29 again. He says, "And honorest thy sons above me to make yourselves." Here Eli is implicated in what was going on here, where he was making himself fat as well. I'm possibly physically, but this is talking about making himself rich. You see, they had an abundance of food coming in and offerings to the point where they could sell it off and make themselves rich from this. They were gaining from the people in a wrong and sinister way. And when he saw his children doing that, he had to choose between the Lord and his sons. And he chose his sons. And he allowed them to change the worship of God. He despised God. And so God lightly esteemed him. You know, if you want to look at the Hebrew today's version, you see far too many pastors acting the exact same way. They are conservative men, God-fearing men, who seek to please the Lord above all else. Even when people disagree with them and attack them, they stand firm in what they believe is what a type of worship that honors the God of heaven in holiness. That is until their children grow up and become adults. And their children think that worship in the church is really boring. And they want something more exciting. They want to change things so it will be more like the world that sadly they love. And although in the past the pastor may have condemned that type of worship and that type of actions and stood against it, because of their children they're willing to compromise. You know, I know too many pastors where they change once their children are the influencing party, so to speak, within the church. Their children are more important than Christ. They honor their children more than they honor God. And that's a very scary thing. And I tell you, a lot of churches have been foiled. And Satan has got a foothold because men have honored their children above God. But it's not only pastors who do this. Too many parents do it as well. Parents change their convictions to accommodate their worldly children. Now, if you've only got 3 or 4-year-olds, I suspect that there's not a lot of changing. But as they start to grow, will you start to change to accommodate their wishes above God's wishes? Will you allow them to be the one that sets the agenda and the tone, or will you be a godly leader? Because it will be something you'll have to decide. You know, my mother and father were old-fashioned, because they were old, all right, and very conservative parents. But to my parents' credit, they never changed their convictions to accommodate a very fleshly, worldly son. I think they were all the sons were very worldly, fleshly sons, actually. But they never changed. I'm so glad they didn't change to accommodate the older son. And so by the time the fourth child comes along, they were very worldly parents. I'm so glad I knew what I should be through their life. Unlike the man I mentioned, who I talked to just around about there in this church once. Question is, why do parents change? Because they honour their children more than they honour God. But that wasn't the only time. Have a look at verse 22. Here we see there was a defiling of the priest's office in a very evil, sinister way. It says, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all these people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." They were truly the sons of Belial, the sons of the devil. The word actually literally means good-for-nothing sons. Is it any wonder that people didn't want to go and worship the Lord when they were the type of men in charge of the worship? They were corrupt in every form that you can imagine. And when Eli heard what they were doing with the women there at the temple, or at the tabernacle, what did he do? Well, he went and roused on them. At least he did that. And he said, "What you're doing is wrong." Now, how did they respond to that? They kept doing it. They didn't change. And so after he had rebuked them and they didn't change, what did Eli do? Nothing. He continued to let them stay and do what they were doing. He verbally rebuked them, but what he should have done is he should have removed them from that place. If it was anybody else but his sons, he probably would have had them put to death for the evil that they were committing, but he allowed them to stay and do those things. Why? God tells us. Because he honored his sons above the Lord. Oh, I don't want to upset them. Then they won't like me. I don't want to embarrass them in front of everyone and dismissing. Oh, I don't want them to go through all these things. They may change in time. I don't know what his excuses were, but we know the overriding concept was he honored them above God. He knew what God wanted him to do, but he didn't do it. And parents, this is worth taking note of. This is the attitude of a person who honours their children above the Lord. You know, if you're more worried about upsetting your children than upsetting God, well, then you are just like Eli. And that's a very dangerous place to be, because they that honour the Lord, he will honour. But they that despise the Lord shall be lightly esteemed. Now, can I ask you, if your children want to do something that you know is wrong, or maybe they want to do something that you know is unwise because they're putting the temporal before the eternal, who are you more worried about upsetting? Your children or God? You know, in my memory banks, I think the first time Linda and I were confronted by this was when Robert was around about 6 or 7. He was playing soccer since the age of 5 on a Saturday, and he loved it. He was quite good. He was probably one of the key boys on the soccer team. And there was a time once a year when there was a huge carnival on a Sunday where all the teams came together to go for some sort of prize. And Robert wanted to play. In fact, we wanted him to play because we enjoyed watching him. And the team wanted him to play. And I knew that what he would learn in Sunday school that morning and what he would hear from the message that morning wasn't going to leave too big a gap in his knowledge of God. I understood that. That he could miss one Sunday, go play soccer, and it's not going to change his knowledge of God. But I knew that wasn't the real issue. The real issue was who was more important. What was more important? Was it more important to worship the God of heaven who has saved me from eternal damnation and bring praise to him and put him first? Or was it more important to play soccer? And I also knew God had said, they that honour me, I will honour. But those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And it was for that reason he went to Sunday school, he went to church, then in the afternoon he got to play a couple of games, but the worship of God came first. And he was happy with that, actually. He didn't seem to mind too much. But even if he wasn't, you know, I wanted God to know that to worship him was far more important than any soccer game. I wanted my son to know that the worship of God is far more important than any sport. I also wanted those parents to know that for me in my home, to worship the King of Heaven who I love above all is far more important than any soccer carnival. And deep down, I hope that in the process, my son would learn from me as he grew up that the God of heaven, the one who saved his soul, was far more important than anything else, any sport or any person. Where he not only heard it from my mouth, but he actually saw it in my life. Hey, Mum and Dad believe that going and worshipping God is far more important than any sport. And that's been our attitude with our children ever since. Now, I'm sure Alicia and Robert won't mind me saying that when they got their part-time job at Kmart, it wasn't long before they were both told that unless they work Sundays, they're probably not going to get very many, if any, shifts. And so they had to work out, well, they didn't have a choice, to be honest, but we tried to go through the process with them. And I reminded them, God says, if you honour me in your work, He'll honour you. You don't want to despise God and put that part-time job above the Lord. And so they went in, they told the adults, no, we can't work Sundays because we go to church. And you know, it's funny how they still got shifts. They probably got more shifts. And they've been getting shifts ever since until they choose to leave like Alicia did just this year. 4 or 5 years later. You know, God was honoured by them, and He honours them. And you know, everyone at Kmart knows that Alicia and Robert don't work Sundays because they would rather worship their God. So He's honoured in that. And you know, there will be lots of times when you're going to have to choose who you're going to honour. Some things may seem small. Oh, that doesn't really matter. But it's still important in God's sight. And there are going to be big things where you're going to have to decide who you're going to honour. And you're going to be faced with that all through your life. You know, Eli chose to honour his sons. Parents, who do you honour most? Are you afraid of upsetting your children? And so you're willing to do what they want instead of what God knows you should be doing? Who do you honour the most? It doesn't have to be children that we honour more than the Lord. That idol, can be above anyone. You know, if you read the story, Eli was truly despised. His sons died on the battlefield. He died that very same day. There was a miscarriage involved as well. And his whole family was removed from the priesthood, just as God said. His family was destroyed because he chose to honor his sons above God. When if he had done it completely differently and honored God first, who knows what would have happened to his family. And so if you want to know a verse that you can apply in just about every circumstance of life, can I encourage you to learn, "For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Who do you honor the most? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you've given us this very stern warning. Dear Lord, one day when we see you in glory, despite if we're a believer or not, we will see how we should have bowed our knee and put you first in every area of our life. We will have no doubt about it then. Oh Lord, I pray that none of us will face you that day with regrets, wishing we had done it, yet we didn't. Let none of us be an Eli. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.